question I want to ask you is, where's your heart at this morning, church? I hope it's not out there somewhere in the world. I hope you're not anxious for 12 o'clock to get here. I hope you come to listen to what God has to say to you this morning. Because God is going to speak to you this morning. I'm not. I've been studying. I started out with this sermon. I thought I was going to be going into the book of Luke. And I started there, but he didn't keep me there. He led me to the book of Galatians. So we're going to be in the book of Galatians this morning. So if you can go ahead and turn your Bibles, there won't be anything up here. I'd rather you get into the Bible, read from the Bible. I think it's very important that we learn to start using the Bible. You're going to be going to chapter 4. And we're going to be starting with in verse 4. The title to my sermon this morning is Freedom in Christ. How do we know we can't free ourselves? We had to have a Savior. I don't know what you're trusting in today. I don't know if you're trusting in something outside those doors to get you to heaven, whether you're trusting in the law, obeying the law, and that's supposed to get you heaven. I don't know what you're trusting in. But I want to make it clear to you this morning that the law is not going to help you if that's what you're counting on. Obeying the letter of the law. I'm not saying the law is not good, it's perfect. The law tells me how I'm going to be living one day as a perfect being, but I'm not there yet. How many know that I'm not there yet and you're not there yet either? We got a long ways to go. Before we get started, I want to open up with prayer. Father, first of all, I come to you to move me out of the way. This congregation didn't come to hear me. They come to hear the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Father, at any point, I turn away from what the Holy Spirit has to say to me, then stop me. Lord, I just ask the Holy Spirit uses me heavily this morning, and it not only is with me, but is with everybody sitting in this congregation, that he opens their ears for any part that's for them. They hear what he has to say, and they take it out the doors with them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're starting with verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. I couldn't obey the law, no matter how much I wanted to. This is what these scriptures are telling me. Without the Son of God coming down and being put under those same laws and abiding in those laws and paying for my sin, I ain't got a chance. Neither do you. Now it says I have full rights as a son. I belong to God now. I'm his son, and I have all the rights that Jesus Christ had. Is it because I'm something special? No, it's because he was. Amen? Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Did you hear what I said? He sent the Spirit's of the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. That's the only way we can be good. We're going to talk about this morning. The Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. I'm no longer under the law. Does that mean I don't try to do what the law says? You know, my goal is to be able to live my life the way the law. I can't. Can you? You can't raise your hand this morning. I want to clear this up, hopefully for this congregation today, this morning. We can't keep the law. That doesn't mean we don't try to do our, we don't work hard at doing what God wants us to do. We got people in our churches think they're going to heaven because they're keeping, doing their best to keep the law. That don't get you to heaven. He says he sent his son. His son come down to die on the cross to pay for my sins. To pay for your sins. There's nothing we can do other than that. We can't top it. We can't change it. We don't need to. I'm a saved man right now. I'm a son of God and I'm going to heaven. Why? Because he put his spirit in my heart. He claimed me as his after I accepted him in my life. I can't do anything else but learn to obey him and do my best to please him. And I do that by trying to keep the law the best I can. The law is good. It's perfect. And that's the way one day I'm going to live, but not today. I've got something called a sin nature lives in me that battles, which we'll get into that later. I won't even go there now. Not today. I'm not that. I'm learning. I'm in the process of learning how to obey the law. But I got a helper now. He's called the Holy Spirit. He put him in my heart. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's the one he sent down. He's a teacher. He comes down to teach me, lead me, empower me to do what that Bible says do. Without him, I can do nothing. I'm helpless. Without him, you can do nothing. Amen? So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. I have access to everything Jesus does. Why? Because he gives me that right. Because of what Jesus did. Because of what Jesus did. I can never be good enough. You can never be good enough. Amen? Goes down to verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, this is before salvation, before I knew God. They're talking to a different group of people. You were slaves to those who by nature are gods. And back then they had all kinds of things. They totem poles and different things they worshiped as God. They were not God. There's only one God. Amen? Today, we put things ahead of God. All kinds of things we put. We may not even know we're doing it. Our money, our jobs. It's from a lifestyle that we've had from being small growing up. We've been taught wrong things. We've been going by the way we think, not what God says. We're still doing it, church. It's time that we wake up and find out the truth of God's word right here. What is he telling us? There's all kinds of worldly things that can pull us off course and send us down the wrong pathway that God don't want us to go down. But now that you know God, salvation, now that we're saved. Hopefully everybody in this room is saved. I don't know that. Only you know where you're saved or not. Only you. Or rather, are known by God. You know, At the point of salvation, is the point that we need to start having a relationship with God. This is time we should start to get to know God. Some of us don't do that. There's some people sitting in here this morning. There's some people sitting in churches all across the country that believe salvation ends it. It's all done. It's all said and done. We're through it. That's just the beginning. He says we can have a relationship with Him. He says we can get to know Him. We can get to know the Father personally. See, when Jesus Christ did what He did, He opened up the doors to heaven. I can walk right into His throne room. I have that right. If you're a child of God, you have that right. I can go to Him for anything I want to go to Him for. If I have a problem, I can go, Father. If I just want to go into His throne room and worship Him for the things He's already done and tell Him how great He is, I got that right. I belong to Him. If you got an issue that you need help with and you belong to Him, you've got that right. Go into His throne room and talk to Him. It's called a personal relationship. I've talked on this before. Some of us don't have it. I don't know who. There's people sitting in churches all across the country that don't know God. They know about God. Or they've read their book. And this is what we got to do. We got to read the book. They find out some things about God. That's the starting point. We start the relationship by finding out about God. Then we start believing what we find out about God. Then we start applying what we get found out about God into our lives. Then we start to get to know God. Amen? It's a big difference in knowing about God and personally knowing God. I personally know God. Do I get an amen from anybody else? Amen. Do you know God this morning? Amen. If you don't, then and I believe there's somebody in this congregation. I'm glad to hear all the amens, but I believe there's somebody in here that don't. I believe there's people in this room that don't know God. Or He wouldn't be talking through me this way. Don't know who you are. Don't know who you are. He don't tell me these things. He just tells me what to say. So we keep going. At the point of salvation, there should be a relationship started between you and the Father. We have that right, because we have the Son. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And through the Son, we can walk into His throne room and talk to Him. But we're not doing that. He goes on to say, how is it that you are, or rather God, or rather are known by God? How is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. After being saved by God and after being freed from being underneath the law, freed from our sins, why are we going back and picking them back up again? Why are we going back to trying to please God by doing the law? That we can't do. That we couldn't do to start with, and we can't do it now. But we're still going back, picking up the law and doing our best to please God and get our way. Maybe it'll help us get into heaven. No, it won't. There's only one way and one way only. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's done it all. It's settled. If you accepted Jesus in your life, then you are a born again Christian. You are a son of God. You belong to God. And you're on your way to heaven. That doesn't mean you're perfect. None of us are. He was the perfect one. That's why He came. That's why He obeyed the law. That's why He died on the cross. And if you tell me that I got to do something to beat that, you're wrong. I can't beat what He done on the cross. I can only accept it. I can only believe it, and I can only enjoy it. Amen? Go from there to chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That first part of that scripture is telling us what Christ did. He set me free from the law, my sins. But he goes on to the next part of that, tells me something I got to do. Stand firm. I've got to stand firm. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to where you were. Keep moving forward. If you mess up, don't let it stop you. Don't let it turn you around. Don't let that guilt build upon you. Turn you. You got the right to go to the Father and ask forgiveness. He knew you was going to mess up. Now get it cleaned out. Don't stop. Keep moving. That's what it's like. That's what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's our Father. We're His kids. Do you turn your kids down when they come to you and say, "Father, I'm sorry," or "Mama, I'm sorry for what I've done"? No. What do? You forgive them. They're still your kids, ain't they? And it doesn't matter what you do. If your heart, you realize in your heart that you're wrong, you can go before this God, your Father, and get forgiveness for it, if you mean it. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, in other words, get back underneath the law, Christ will be of no value to you at all, it says here. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. If you trust in the law at all, you're obligated to fulfill the whole law. Could you do it before? You can't do it now. It's Jesus Christ. Christ alone. That's it. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from His grace. If you're trying to be justified for being a good person, doing all the right things, making sure you show up on church, pay your tithes, if that's your way to heaven, you failed. I won't see you there. But if you're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, that He's done everything that needed to be done, then you're on your way to heaven. Amen? But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. See, I'm not there yet. I'm right only because of what Jesus done for me. But when He comes back, when I see Him eye to eye, face to face, that's when I can live without the burden of sin in my life. That's when I can be righteous. And until that day, I could mess up. I'm your associate pastor, but I'm going to tell you right now, I can mess up. But so can you. That's why I got this family around me. So when I do, you can come beside me, lift me up, and get me back where I belong. That's what a church family is for, to help one another when we step off the path and go the wrong direction. Amen? It's not to cut each other down. It's not to talk about each other. It's not to disagree about everything in that Bible. There's things in that Bible that we all don't agree about. That don't mean we can't love each other. I assure you there's things in that Bible that some of us don't agree with that I believe. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as we agree that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that His blood cleanses us, and that's the only way to heaven. Amen? determine, as long as I'm a teacher or preach in this church, that we're going to be able to sit down and talk about anything in my classes, anything this book says, whether I agree with you and you agree with me or not. I'm going to tell you why I believe it. I want to listen to why you don't believe it. And let's talk about it. Because this Bible's got scripture in it that tells me that every word, how many words? Every. Is for teaching. So I'm going to do my best to tell you what the Holy Spirit tells me about it. And I want to hear what you have to say. And then what we're going to do, put our arms around each other when we disagree and agree to let the Holy Spirit direct us. That's the only way it can be done. Let the Holy Spirit tell the ones wrong, he's wrong. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm going to tell you what I think, what I believe, what I've read in the Scripture, what I think the Holy Spirit's telling me. I want to hear what the Holy Spirit's telling you. And then again, we're going to put it in the hands of the Holy Spirit and let him convince the one that has to be convinced. See, I can't convince you. I can't make you believe anything. You can't make me believe anything. But he can. Amen? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Through love. See, we need to be loving each other, not tearing each other apart. Not looking to see what everything I'm doing wrong, or me looking to see what you're doing wrong. Out of love, we should be putting our arms around each other and guiding each other along. I want to tell you, the biggest part of the church today is tearing itself apart. Talking about each other. Looking for what's wrong in the church instead of what's right in the church. See, we got to have, if there's something wrong in the church, then we need to step in there and do something about what's wrong. Don't just sit back and talk about it. If you think your leaders are walking the wrong way, talk to us about it. Face to face. If you think the color of the carpet's the wrong color, talk to us about it. We may not listen to you, but talk to us about it. Those things I don't have anything to do with. I don't care if they make it purple. The color of this carpet don't have anything to do with why I'm here. The color of the paint on this building don't have anything to do with why I'm here. I'm here because I love Jesus Christ. How many loves Jesus Christ this morning? And if we just get that in our head, that's all we got to do. Fall in love with the Creator, the God Almighty, and live our lives accordingly. Amen? Let's go over to Galatians. And this is for some that think that once you get saved and you're guaranteed your salvation by the Holy Spirit being in your heart, that it's okay for you to go on sinning. That God's just going to keep forgiving your sins. Go to verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Yes, I'm called to be free. I am free simply because of what Jesus Christ did for me. But what's the next part say? But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. So we've got the Spirit of God living in us. We've still got that sinful nature still there. And we're fixing to get into that. That's all I'll say about that for right now. It says that the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's hard to do, ain't it? It's hard to do. So how can we do that? How can we love our neighbor as there said. Go to verse 16. So I say, live by the who? The Spirit. Then it says what? And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit. How's that done? How do we live by the Spirit? It's been less and less of me and more of Him. The Bible clearly tells you, John says that. He says it's got to be less and less of me. It's got to be more and more of the Savior. It's giving everything you are to Him and say, Lord, do what you can do, you want to do with it. It's not holding on to my will. It's not holding on to your will. It's not having everything I want outside them doors, but it's going after God's will for me. See, His will for me and His will for you on what you're going to do in this life may be different. This is the will He had for me. What have I got to do to be able to speak for God? I got to do His will. His will means sitting in the office and reading and reading and reading the Bible and asking Him questions and getting in His presence. That's what I got to do. If I got to give up all of that and stay in my office full time so I can teach you the truth about this word, then that's what my will is now. Whatever your will is, Father. He doesn't make me stay in my office all the time, though. But I got to be willing to do whatever He tells me to do before He's going to let me stand behind His pulpit. I'm not here just for a paycheck. I'm not here for my glory. I'm here for His glory. I'm nothing. See, we got so many preachers that standing behind a pulpit that thinks they just simply want the glorification. They want the people to worship them. They're in the churches across the United States. It's not me. I'm going to tell you right out, I'm nothing. I'm no better than you. I'm a speaker for God. God speaks through me. I spend time with Him. I work hard. There are times we've got to work hard so that I can hear His voice and tell you what He has to say. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. It goes on here to say, they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. You know, I read this morning, and I've read this scripture more than one time. When I got that part where it says, so that you do not do what you want, the first scripture that popped in my head is Paul in Romans. And he talks about how the things he wants to do, he's not able to do it. And the things he don't want to do, he finds himself doing it. Why is that? Because of the sin nature that's still in us. And he opened this up to me this morning. It goes on to say, but if you are led by the Spirit, are we led by the Spirit this morning? Are you a child of God? Then you are led by the Spirit. When He first comes into you, you may not hear His voice, but you are being led from Him from the time He enters until the time you die. The first thing He's going to do when He comes into you, it gives you that wanna do right. You're not going to be able to. Why? Because you got this sin nature. But when the Holy Spirit comes into you, you're going to want to do right. Amen? Do I have any witnesses to this? I know I can say it in my life. When I rededicated my life to Him, and back when I first got saved, I wanted to do right. Couldn't, but I wanted to. When I rededicated my life, I still want to do right. And I'm doing my best to do right. But I'm still dealing with something called sin nature. The sin nature lives in me. There's a battle going on between the Holy Spirit and the sin nature. But we're led by the sin nature. And the next part of that verse is, you are not under the law. So see, when I mess up trying to please God, the law can't harm me. Amen? See, the Holy Spirit knows my heart. He knows I don't want to mess up. He knows your heart. He put that in you to want to live a correct lifestyle. But sometimes we still mess up. Amen? Don't get down on yourself. You're going to do it again before you leave this earth. I'm not telling you to go out and start sinning. It's okay. That's not what I'm telling you at all. We've already read the scripture. That is not the way a Christian lives. And if that's the way you think, there's a good chance you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Because He don't put those kind of desires in you. He doesn't put it in you to go out and sin. He puts it in you to please God. So where does that leave you if you're wanting to go out and sin all the time? Your sin nature is leading you astray. So who does that tell you you're following? The Spirit or the sin nature? You're choosing to go that way. Now the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped leading you. Now you may make some bad choices and do wrong, but the Holy Spirit's always there trying to lead you and guide you. And He does it. The first place He's going to lead you is into His Word. Because if you're not in His Word, and you would probably be shocked if you knew how many sitting here this morning still ain't in the Bible. And I've been preaching, I know I preach it just about every time I get up here. Not too often, but I preach it every time I get up here. If you're not willing to have a relationship with this book, the Bible, the Word of God, then you're not having a relationship with God. Period. You say whatever you want to say. You have to have a relationship with the Word to have a relationship with a man. So until you get ready to open this book and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you out of this book, you're not there. Now, I'm running short of time, but I want to quickly go over some things right here. It talks about, verse 19 says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And it gives you a list of things here. This is the way we were back when we was unsaved. You might say, but how many notice since you got saved, there's still some of that stuff in your life? You still have issues, problems with some of those things in verse 19 and 20. It goes on down to verse 22. It talks about what happens when the Spirit of God is leading you. Gives you the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. When we're born again, we don't automatically get good. We got a lifetime of work to do. God has a lifetime of work to do in us. We had them issues when we got born. Now we're cleansed of them. God has forgiven us for them. But we still got bad habits. We've been taught bad things. We think wrong. God's got to change the way we think. He's got to change our habits. And as He does that, this is in this relationship I'm talking about. This daily relationship as we walk and pay attention to what God has to say to us. And let Him lead us. He starts removing the things out of these first two lines. And then He starts to put the love and the peace and all the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And this is done over our lifetime. And it's according to how willing you are to serve God. See, the more and more you get to know God, the more and more you love God. The more and more you love God, the more and more you want to please God. It's a daily relationship. But there's so many people sitting in their churches that's in love with what's outside them doors. They can't be for a Christian. The first love of your life has got to be the man that wrote this book. If anything else is before that, you're going the wrong direction. You'll never get in this lifetime what God wants to give you. He wants us to become overcomers. He wants us to defeat everything that Satan's trying to stop us from doing. We are the church. We are the warriors of God. That means we're in a battle. We just talked about this on Sunday night. He gives us a suit of armor to put on to fight this battle. Word of God. It's a piece of that armor. Are you doing that, church? Are you living for God? Are you still trying to enjoy everything outside them doors? We're here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to serve God. That's to reach out and save our brothers and our sisters that's out there lost. Are you doing that? Oh, we're too busy to find out, trying to find ways to enjoy our life here on this earth that we're forgetting why we're here to start with. Let me tell you, a life serving God, a relationship with God is the best life you ever have. You'll never have a better life than that. You're going to find out you can do things that you could never do without Him. I'm doing one right now. I'm a person, a shy, bashful person. Always have been all my life. Do I sound bashful now? When I first started preaching, I was still that shy, bashful person. It took a lot of faith for me to stand behind this pulpit. And it took a lot of time in the presence of my Savior. Amen? He's got a job for everybody in this room. You're not excluded if you belong to Him. There's something He wants everybody in this room to do. I can't tell you what that is. And the only way you're going to find out what that is, get in His Word, start a relationship, and ask Him. He'll be glad to show you. He showed me. Couldn't believe it, but He showed me. And then He made it possible for me to do that. He made it possible. So if you're in this church this morning simply because that's what you think you're supposed to do, and that's going to help get you to heaven. If you do all the churchy things because you think that's what it takes to get to heaven, you're here for the wrong reason. But if you're here because you love Jesus Christ, you love the Father, and you love the Holy Spirit that lives within you, and you're here to please Him, you're here to serve Him, you're here to praise and worship Him, then you're in the right place. But I'm going to encourage you, don't just do it here. When you walk out those doors, do it every day for the rest of this week and the next week and the next week. Serve Him like the church is supposed to be serving Him. Reach out and to your brothers and your sisters. Pull them into the church. They need our help. They're lost. They're out there wandering around not knowing what to do, and we're not telling them. Why? Because we're in here. But when we leave them doors, we leave it in here. We got to learn to take it outside those doors and into our world. My world is Save-A-Lot. My world is at my home with my family. My world is you. My world is whoever God puts in front of me. That's who I'm supposed to take it to. Where are you supposed to take it? Are you taking it there? First, it's got to be taken to me. It's got to be taken to you. We got to believe it. We got to understand it. And we got to be willing to do it. Amen? Would you stand? You know, there may be somebody here that don't know who God is. Don't walk out of this building until you do know who He is. This altar is open for anybody for any reason. But if you don't know who God is this morning, if you never asked Him to come into your life, there's no better time than right now. Because there may not be a tomorrow. You may not make it to tomorrow. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you now. See, I can't bring you to this altar, but the Holy Spirit said something through me and it landed on your ears and God's talking to you right now. He's the only one can bring you to this altar. So if the Holy Spirit is talking to you this morning, don't pass this time up because He may not talk to you tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. He's given you an opportunity to come into His family, to come under His umbrella, His protection. If you're here this morning and you realize that you haven't been serving God, you may be very well saved, but you hadn't went on to have this relationship that I'm talking about. This is a real relationship between you and God that you have the opportunity. The unsaved don't have this opportunity. Only His children, the ones who belong to Him. Amen? If you realize you haven't went on to have this relationship, this altar is open. Come up and ask Him, Lord, show me how to do this. First of all, you've got to hear His voice. Learn to hear His voice, and it starts right here. Through your private time with Him. Ask Him. If you don't know how to hear Him, ask Him. He'll show you. He showed me. If old hillbilly like me can learn to hear God, you can hear. We can all hear His voice, but we got to be wanting to. Got to be willing to. Amen? So if that's you this morning, maybe you are saved, but you stopped at salvation. You never went any farther. See, there's much, much farther to go. There's a whole life of serving Him. And see, when you're on the path that He puts you on, He's got blessings all down that path waiting for you when you get there. As you obey Him, as you walk with Him, you run into these blessings He has waiting on you. When you don't do that and you step off that path and you go the other direction, you miss every blessing He's got for you. Amen? So if you want to be on that path and you want what God has got for you, see, I'm going after what He's got for me. I'm not going after what He's got for Tim or Jeremy or anybody else in this room. I'm going after what He has for me. This altar is open. Just come ask God. Any other reason that you're here this morning, that God has spoke to you about, if there's healing needs to take place in your life, if there's healing needs to take place in your family, a family member, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whatever, this altar is open.